All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Our very good friend and contributor number one, Richard Bowes. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Well, I'm a bit frazzled, but I'm all right. Been burning the candle this last week. That went to left field last Thursday. Saturday was Dot to Dot Festival here in Bristol. Sunday was watching the mighty Everton stay up. So that kind of, and then the celebrations that came thereafter, that got a little bit out of hand. Monday was Arctic Monkeys at Ashton Gate. So yeah, that was quite a total weekend. It takes you a couple of days to recover from.
Yeah.
And then last night was in London for the album playback of Council Skies. So yeah, high on life, mentally stimulated, but quite physically tired, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, we'll get onto the Noel stuff, but I've similarly had a busy few days, although not as rock and roll as yours, but still pretty cool. I was at Comic-Con over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
In London, which was good fun. A bit of music going on. There was a few bands played, but it was very much like in the kind of the nerd aesthetic. There was a band called Press X that do like anime theme tune covers and like stuff like that. And there was a band called Melon Band Play, which is similar. They do... what's the name? Hatsune Miku, which is like Vocaloid. So it's basically like these pretend pop stars that are like gorillas, but they actually then like AI generate the music or whatever. So,
okay.
Yeah, so they do kind of covers of those sort of things. But that was really good fun, actually. These young kids just really ramshackle, hilarious, all dressed up in kind of dressed as anime characters and stuff. And that was like really fun and exciting to see these kids really going for it. And then the big kind of close of the day was Christian Nairn, a.k.a. Hodor from Game of Thrones, was DJing, because he is actually a DJ in real life.
I've seen a few interviews with him. He's like, I think he was doing that before we did Game of Thrones, wasn't he, I think?
Yeah, he's proper respected DJ. He's done a lot of like Belfast residencies and things like that. And he did a set at the end of the day. And it was mainly like 90s and 2000s kind of, typical house stuff. But it was interesting because obviously it's just in this room of people all in these crazy outfits and stuff. And like no one was drunk at all, because everyone's just been at Comic-Con all day. So, and it was just one of those things you go, you know what? It's just lovely to be around people dancing to music, just enjoying the music and no alcohol, no stress, no critical evaluation, just everyone just having a great time, wearing their crazy kind of Naruto outfits or whatever. So it was a pleasant time had by all. And then Beyonce. I saw Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. How was that? Tell the Oasis podcast listeners how Beyonce was.
Yeah, exactly. It was, I sort of joked on Twitter, like, forget it. This is now the Beyonce pod. No, it was brilliant. My wife went to see her in Cardiff, but had a really crap view. She was like right at the side, so you couldn't see the screen at all. And obviously, when you go to a big stadium show like that, the screen is, unless you're right down the front, which is going to cost about 10 grand, the screen is like the main thing you're watching. And so it was a bit of while Beyonce was amazing, it was a bit of a disappointment for her because she couldn't see the screen. So then we looked out for Tottenham tickets. And once again, they're like a couple of hundred quid, even for the real crap seats, just keep an eye on it. And then a couple came up pretty reasonably priced right at the back, but at least it was straight on. And so, so Beyonce was a stick figure, but, you've got all the screens and everything. And Tottenham, to be fair, it's less of a bowl as Wembley. It's a lot more straight up. So even at the back, you're not too far away. You could make out her limbs, if not her eyes. And but no, it was amazing. Like she's such a great performer. Yeah, musically, not really my cup of tea, but in terms of like pop, R&B, soul, whatever, of the last sort of 10, 15 years. I mean, her stuff's been some of the strongest, you know, it's so vital and relevant and interesting. And she works with all kinds of really good producers and stuff. So very powerful. The overall show was really good. It started off quite quiet, actually. The first sort of three or four songs were just piano kind of based. And she's like wearing a ball gown. It was this thing, this is a sort of strange, sort of slow way to start the show. You'd think you start with a bit of a banger. But then, no, going on from that, it was really, really, really good. Just really good all the way through. Just people like just loving it and dancing and just to be in her presence, really. But And it was an interesting way to do a show because, you know, most bands, you know, the band comes on, they play their set, then they might go off and come back on and do an encore. Whereas with her, it was like she'd do like these mini sets. She'd do like three or four songs, then leave. They change the stage setup. She'd do an outfit change and then she'd come back on. And so it's almost like the coming on to the stage and the entrance and stuff is bigger than the actual her just playing the song. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because she's such a star. It's almost like, oh, what's the stage setup going to be now? What's her outfit going to be? What's it's the entrance, it's the pow moment. And then there were some songs, you know what I mean? But yeah, she's such a brilliant performer. The vocals were amazing. The dancers were amazing. My favorite bits, being a live music fan, were when there was an actual band on stage, you know, and then mm-hmm. they were actually playing. There's a few bits where the guitar player would come down, saxophone player would come down. And that was my kind of favorite moments because you were actually into the band. There's a lot of the songs, it was really just probably a backing track or maybe the band was there, but they weren't visible. So, right. Yeah, but no, all in all, what an amazing show.
Yeah, I mean, she's comfortable. I mean, yeah, not really my type of music, but she's comfortably one of the greats, isn't she? I mean, I think she'll stand the test of time and she'll, you know, be ranked amongst there. And I think a lot of that will be kind of the live performance, which is, you know, my understanding is she didn't do much before she played Glastonbury in 2011, did she? And I could be wrong, to be fair. I could be wrong. I'm wrong, because why would they have a headline? That's me if she'd never done live performances before. But that seemed to really kick her on, I think, from my understanding. And well, good stuff. Yeah, great. It was a good show.
That was good. Well, how was Arctics at Ashton Gate?
Oh, brilliant. So I'd never been to Ashton Gate Stadium before, and it's one of those that's nice, that's big, but not too big. So you can still get good, kind of good views from wherever you are. I mean, they opened with Mardi Bum, which they haven't played in, well, the album version, they haven't played for like 15 years. And it's the first time they've ever done it. They've not done it throughout their any kind of their European tours and stuff. They've even played it, let alone open with it. Then there were like audible gasps when it kind of came on. And obviously that kind of really kicked off the atmosphere. And it was just not exactly greatest hit set, but because it was, there were a few like album tracks and stuff, but it was like stuff that spanned their entire career. Actually, it probably was greatest hits, actually, thinking about it. I think actually most of the stuff was singles. Didn't do too much of the new album, which I was quite disappointed in, but I can see how that wouldn't necessarily work to a stadium, so that's fair enough. But yeah, it was, as I say, a few kind of little surprises, like My Propeller and... Mardi Bum, actually, those are the kind of two big surprises. But it was just, I mean, they're at the top of their game right now. So, I mean, they haven't played in the UK since Reading and Leeds, but they've been touring since then pretty much. So they're kind of, they're match fit, kind of at their peak. And so, this massive stadium tour, I think they played Coventry Wednesday night, the Emirates for three nights next week. I think I'll play Old Trafford Cricket Ground. They're like, they've got so many shows, and then obviously the headline, the Glastonbury headline show. So it's going to be, I think they're going to be bossing the next few weeks, but they worked out so well that the UK leg is kind of, I'd say, kind of the peak of the tour when they're kind of firing on all cylinders. Yeah, it was great. It was phenomenal. Only just got my voice back. Still think they're the best band in the world right now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So yeah, so let's get on to the Gnoly stuff. So you were at the immersive listening party. How did you blag that?
Just a very lucky boy. No, my name doesn't carry any weight or anything. I'll just enter the raffle that anyone kind of pre-ordered. Well, actually, I say it wasn't me. My mate kind of entered the raffle and wasn't lucky. He also entered the raffle for anyone who'd ordered the album. And then, yeah, just got a notification over the weekend that we'd won. Or he'd won. So kind of got the details about it on Wednesday. It was in, like it was near Farringdon in the city, in London. So yeah, got there, Tonica, just before it opened. It was like 6 till 8:30, the event. It's like in one of those kind of hire out event spaces in the kind of city area. Quite small. I think doing the logic, there was 50 pairs of tickets. So there was 100 people there. Plus, like I say, plus the Ignition staff. Went up there. There was kind of all the artwork of the album, like all the interior artwork and stuff was on like canvases. And then there was Epiphone that were kind of, as part of the 100-year celebration, they were kind of, I don't know if they were sponsoring it or whatever, but they're kind of, their presence was there, and they had a couple of the Gibson guitars that the replicas from the Noel series. They kind of noodled around a bit on there. I say noodles. I can't really play guitar, but sounded nice. And then we were led up to the upstairs room, which is kind of this blacked out, well, not blacked out room with kind of video screen, LED screens all around it. Room big enough to hold probably, well, I say there's about 100 people in there. We were all comfortable. So I don't know what they're kind of, they that was absolutely allow. And then, yeah, kind of got to 6 o'clock, I think it was due to start. 7 o'clock. And the kind of bit, the pre-music, which is all Noel stuff, like earlier Noel stuff, kind of stopped. The screen's lit up and he walks on, like he just walks on like a big image. And you're like, oh, shit, is it going to be like, you know, an introduction or something? But no, his face just faded out. And then went into the album. So for the singles of the album, you got the videos.
Yeah.
That's kind of around the screens. And the others were like, you know, like Dead to the World. I don't think that was like, I think it was kind of like a lyric video. I don't think it was like an official video. It's a lot of that kind of artwork style for the rest of the album stuff. But yeah, I mean, in one of those places, that sounds huge, obviously. And you know, a sound system I'll never be able to afford and probably won't be able to hear through again, you know, purpose built. And yeah, just kind of standing around listening to the album, watching the kind of visuals, really. We got a goodie bag with a bit of merch. Well, I say merch. It was like a cool, like, brown paper bag with like the Council Skies logo on it. And you got a print of Noel, a box of Yorkshire tea, a Man City magnet, and an Epiphone t-shirt. So it was like, go on.
Is the print signed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the print signed. Yeah. So it was just quite funny, like having listened to all those interviews and stuff, like knowing or getting all those references. But it was a bit like, got the city badge. I was like, that's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? But that was cool. That was nice. Yeah. Like I said, the print was quite cool. Not the badge and stuff were really nice. It's just, yeah, it's a cool little thing to have. And then, yeah, the album is the deluxe version of the album. All the instrumentals. So although I managed to get a review copy of the album yesterday, I'd only heard the 10 tracks and we're going to get them in the end. So it's like the first time I heard Don't Stop.
Okay.
The rework Don't Stop and Mind Games. So, like I say, hearing those for the first time on a massive sound system was really, really cool. And yeah, that was kind of it, really, to be honest. It was quite a relatively low-key affair. We were kind of crossing our fingers that Noel might... Well, I worked out earlier on that Noel wasn't going to be there because he's obviously playing Seattle. Yeah, he's like his first night of the tour. I think he's in Seattle, but anyway, he's in the States tonight. Tonight being Friday. Or we thought we might get like a little Q&A, a Zoom Q&A or something. But no, there was none of that.
No.
It was a shame. But yeah, it was just like, yeah, it was a really, really cool thing to do. And met a couple of people from Ignition. They were all lovely. Just like I say, quite a nice cool evening.
Very good. Very exciting. And so while you were over there doing that, it was funny because we had I didn't really do much about it because they did drop the open the door, see what you find as well, like the day before, didn't they? And I was just like, oh, come on, another one, you know, like, and it's almost like it came to that point. And when I was listening to the album last night. So I didn't bother. I'd sort of, people have flagged with me. I know it had leaked before. Some people had the vinyls early and things like that. And it had leaked before and the files were being shared around. And this time I just said, you know what? I was actually quite busy as well with work and kids and stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm going to do it properly. I'm going to sit and wait until midnight and then actually give it a listen. But yeah, and it's sort of, it reminded me, you're a film nerd like I am, like when you get like a big blockbuster film coming out and you just get all the trailers and then you get all the TV spots and behind the scenes. And if you watch it all and you watch analysis videos or like breakdown websites or whatever, then when you actually go and see the film, you're like, oh, okay, I've actually pretty much seen this whole film. It's just been like rearranged. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much jigsaw it together. And so actually listening yesterday night, it was only really because we'd had five pre-release singles, plus then Trying to Find the World, It's Been and Gone, and what we're going to get there in the end, you know, it's from the actual album, the true album. Mm. So it was only really, what, I'm Not Giving Up Tonight, There She Blows, Love Is a Rich Man, Think of a Number. Is that it?
I suppose Mind Games, you can probably throw in there.
Oh, Mind Games, yeah, but you know.
But like you say, that's not actually part of the album, is it? Yeah, I did. I was similar to you. I thought when, because when did Open the Door come out? Was it Wednesday, Open the Door, See What You Find came out? I was a bit like, I'll give it one listen, but the album's out in 2 days, so I kind of want to hold off until then. But then, like I say, then I got my review copy came through on Thursday morning, so I was kind of listening to it a bit there. But yeah, there's obviously a reason why bands do that. Like, they could do like one final one like 2 days before the album's come out. I guess it's to remind people or kind of to keep the interest ticking over. Because I think in Noel's case, he did that for Lock All the Doors. I'm sure that came out like 2 days before Chasing Yesterday did, like, if memory serves. I'm kind of with you. I'd like to kind of, in an ideal world, I'd like to listen to the whole album having never heard it or only know one or two.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it just doesn't work like that anymore. You know, yeah. They have their reasons as to why they kind of do that. And like I say, in the case of Noel, I guess for a campaign that, you know, either began in October with Pretty Boy or began in January with the announcement, 6, 7, 8 months, whatever that would total, you know, for reasons of, you know, vinyl production and being a small label, you know, having to get all their ducks in a row, it takes time for the lead time that necessitated being huge. But yeah, you do what, yeah, I wouldn't have, you know, I prefer it if there's more mystique around it, definitely.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I did think it really worked. It still worked as an album, and it was nice to hear those tracks in context. So I was on Twitter last night as it dropped at midnight, and I sort of tweeted along, sort of giving my thoughts. I went through the whole deluxe album as well, all the way to the end. So I think it's about like 2 a.m. And it was hard not to skip some of the remixes and instrumentals. I'm like, I'm pretty tired, but I'm going to do this. Let's go all the way through. And I tweeted along and a few people tweeted along with me, which was very appreciated. But yeah, I mean, overall, what's your thoughts on the album?
I love it. I mean, I think talking about the songs we already knew, I think Council Skies, the title track, works a lot better in the context of the album.
Yeah.
Which is weird also because it's kind of being where it is, you'd heard most of the tracks before that, so you could have kind of worked out in your head. You know what I mean, there's only I'm Not Giving Up Tonight that we didn't really know. You could say, or Open Door and See What You Find. So, but it really helps the flow of the album a lot better. And, you know, it's now what's the point where I'm starting to see beyond the Ballad of My Rip Off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm just kind of enjoying it pretty much as its own thing. It's taken a while, but. Yeah, I love it. I think it's certainly his most to quote myself, I think it's his most accomplished album. I think there's so much going on. I mean, that was one my friend said yesterday. It was like he was struggling to, because of the volume of the music, struggling to hear much. And I remember saying to you actually during I think the first time we met, well, it was like the day that Who Built the Moon came out. I remember going, I'm struggling to pick things out. I think that's because the way the sound Noel chooses to go is quite, because there's so much going on, it's kind of lends itself to much more listening. Like on the first listen, all I notice is the strings, and to me it sounds like it's, you know, swimming in strings, which is great. It's beautiful. It makes it really stately. It's great. But then that's not, think of a number. You're kind of listening to like, there's a kind of a synth going through that. And you're like, that's genius as well. So I think I could be getting the actual song wrong in terms of which one that is. But there's one of the tracks I remember thinking that. It's like, that's also great. But yeah, I'd say it's most accomplished. I think it's going to stand up well. It's going to work live as well. I think barring Dead to the World, I can't see any song there that wouldn't really work live.
No.
I'd love to see Think of a Number live. I think that'd be great. It's quite, yeah, the second half's quite kind of big, isn't it? And quite the drums are quite big. And so I think it would all kind of lend itself. And, you know, he hasn't kind of, I sense he was probably a little bit hurt by the response to the rupture of the fan base for Who Built the Moon. But he's not like he's gone completely pre that. You know, he's taken some of the tricks that he's learned in that time and kind of added it to his more songwritery sounds. And it works really well. I think it's like a nice kind of blend of the journey so far, really. Yeah. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's having sort of listened to through, having listened through to the whole thing last night and then again this morning, it's still very fresh, especially the new tracks are fresh. And yeah, I do think it works really, really well as an album. I think that the MVP of the album is Rosie Danvers, the string arranger. You're in your review that I think everyone should give a definite read to, because it's a very good review. Yeah, she's all over this record. Like, he's really gone, like, you know, strings at the forefront. And like you said, that's really the things that's pinging out. And also maybe because of the fact that they released a couple of those, like, isolated string sort of little videos that they recorded, didn't they? I think of a couple of the tracks. So, you know, we knew, oh, okay, the strings are a big part of this. But they're not just strings, you've got horns, you've got interesting percussion. Like you said, there's that, which one is it that's got the really 80s feel that I sort of said sounded a bit Kate Bush vibes to me. Think of a Number. Yeah, so I'd say, yeah, that's definitely got like a Kate Bush, like late 80s sort of very interesting kind of sound. So overall, yeah, I thought it was really, really impressive. Really engaging all the way through. Some twists and turns that I wasn't expecting. Definitely like little moments in just the songwriting where it just goes in a different direction. You think, oh, okay, that was interesting. You know, that's for me is what I want from Noel. So there's plenty of twists and turns in the songwriting. There's sort of certain points, especially in the likes of Think of a Number and There She Blows, where you just go, Love is a Rich Man, you just think, oh, that went in a different direction. I wasn't quite expecting that. And so, yeah, so all those ones, and that's what I want from Noel. You know, my criticism of him is when, you know, you can kind of guess where the chords are going or you can guess where the lyrics are going. And there's quite a lot of songs on here that I couldn't sort of guess. They took me, you know, and you know, whether it's a new guitar comes in or a tambourine comes in or strings come in and it just lifts you, you know. And so I think the arrangement on here is excellent, both just the way the songs are structured and also, you know, all of the everything that's going on, basically. And then Yeah, and then just to pick up on the other stuff on there, like the deluxe tunes were a little bit unnecessary, I thought. So you have what have we got? Mind Games, I thought, was a pretty faithful cover. I know some people have been really blown away by it. I personally wasn't that bothered. I just thought it was a decent enough little cover of Mind Games. The instrumentals, Pretty Boy, Dead to the World, Council Skies, Think of a Number, I thought were nice to have, but, you know, not that interesting, really. The only thing that I think is worth it on them is it's nice to kind of hear elements, like you're saying, they're so dense, there's so much going on in these recordings that you can, without the vocal there, you can then pick up other little bits and focus on other little bits in there, whether it be little extra guitars or the percussion or horns or whatever that's like hidden in the mix a little bit. So they come to the fore a little bit more. So that's nice, but don't really think I'll be giving them a huge amount of listening. Probably Council Skies and Dead to the World, I can imagine being happy enough to put on just because they're quite chilled. So I could have those like on a chill sort of playlist and they would be quite a nice listening experience. The Pet Shop Boys tune, I could not be arsed with at all.
I like that.
Really, did you? Oh, I just thought it was boring. Really boring. And I think the frustrating thing for me is I'd only heard Think of a Number once, and I was like really excited to listen to it again, but mainly for the lyrics, because that the one for me feels like the most it's about Noel's divorce. And there's a lot in the lyrics in there. You think, oh, wow, you know, there's definitely stuff going on in there. And then the Pet Shop Boys one just sort of stripped a lot of that away, and it just made it took away a lot of the emotion for me, and it just made it feel like a, you know, a bare bones kind of dance tune, which I thought was a bit annoying. Mm-hmm. I'm Not Giving Up Tonight, the David Holmes remix, it just felt like a step back to the cosmic pop kind of stuff, and the my least favorite kind of Noel side. And obviously, he did Who Built the Moon, so, you know, so it sort of makes sense. But yeah, I just didn't particularly enjoy it. The only thing I really liked about it was the fact that the bass is more prominent. You know, being a big fan of bass, you know, you don't often hear bass in kind of Noel Gallagher's recordings. And so that jumped out a bit. The Reflex Revisions of Council Skies was fine. You know, I didn't think it really added much. A few alternate drums, like drums and things were good. And it would like focus just on the strings and vocals a few times. It was nice enough, but once again, you know, not particularly necessary. And then we had the three tracks from Radio 2, and it sort of felt a bit like, oh, we need to flesh out the album. What you got? All right, sorry, chuck them on, you know, because it feels like they've been around for so long that they're not really part of this era. You know, they feel like they're part of the previous era.
Yeah, it's a bit, including with Don't Stop and obviously We're Going to Get There in the End and Trying to Find a World That's Been and Gone. Like, it does feel like it's kind of mopping up for the last few years. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, in terms of, like, I don't know, I didn't think he'd re-record Don't Stop, I've got to be honest. And it's a bit of a shame that he's kind of, you know, rifling through the archives has all ended up on the album. You know, it would have been nice to have kind of those magic secrets, as they were supposed to be called at the time. That would have been quite cool. But it's just now knowing what we know, and, you know, of regards to kind of what Noel was going through at the time, like his choice of Mind Games and things like that, like it's really quite, if you've been following it closely, your heart does really kind of go out, you know, to the whole family, but kind of also to kind of know what he's kind of going through and like hearing the lyrics, you know, a bit further on now. And I think he's laid himself like probably as bare kind of and raw emotionally as ever, I would say. Like you say, with stuff like you know, Think of a Number and obviously Dead to the World, and Trying to Find a World That's Been and Gone. And so it's I mean, those things are offset by the kind of chip that the happier numbers, but I think it's a real, I mean, he does say this, as he said, it's really eclectic. It's much more kind of a, you know, a roller coaster of an album, but that works really well. It does kind of flow and hang together quite well in that sense, I feel. But yeah, I know what you're saying about the business. It's nice to have the Live Forever lying on the ground, and You Ain't Going Nowhere. It's nice to have versions of those as opposed to, you know, YouTube things or whatever. But yeah, I know it has, yeah, broadly speaking, it's got a sense of, yeah, apart from where we're on our way now, I suppose the single version is flying on the ground. It's kind of everything that's been as any music that's been attached to him over the last 3-4 years that all kind of put into that one place, which I suppose is quite nice to have it all in one place in that respect. But yeah, I'd have liked a few more original tunes, not original tunes, no, less remixes and certainly less instrumentals. But you know, that's Noel, isn't it?
It's Noel. He's not going to give us, you know, too much, is he? He's going to pass it out a little bit. But yeah, so yeah, it doesn't. It feels like, yeah. Suppose you're sort of disappointed a little bit in that there isn't more. But actually, what we've got, you know, when you look back on this era, like even when you look back on the previous eras, you know, I remember thinking the same about Who Built the Moon when we'd already heard quite a lot of the tracks, and then two of the tracks on it were the little Wednesday Part Two and Wednesday End Credits Part One or whatever, and you're like, oh, okay, so I'm only getting, I don't know, 5 new tunes and 2 of them are these little instrumentals. But now I don't think about that. You know, you just look, you just watch, you just listen to that album and the other tracks from that era, and you just enjoy it as for what it is. But yeah, no. And anyway, some, you know, let's just have a think about a couple of other highlights. Just go back to my thing. Yeah. Just picking up on what you're saying there about the lyrics. I mean, I've sort of, the lyrics of Think of a Number, you know, last night I was talking to the shadows on the wall outside under the moonlight. I never felt so small because you were my hero and you left and took your bow. So let's head into tomorrow. We've got to get out of the now. Forgive my indecision. I don't know what I should do. It's time. I need time to think because it's such a cruel world. I mean, that's a breakup song, right? I mean, that, you know what I mean? We can say, oh, Noel just makes up lyrics. He's, no, that to me, you don't, we're not, sometimes with Noel, you have to think, or was it subconscious, or, you know, is he, are we reading too much into it? No, that's pretty much, it feels like, you know, this is him laying his heart bare. I really do think so.
And the out of the now, it's quite funny. That's also a lyric in my head, isn't it? Out of the now. So that's quite an interesting little reference. And I wasn't, that was the title of the documentary, or the title of the Sky documentary for the Best Of? Was that the title of that? Or was it the Netflix special? But that's, he's used that title before as well. So it's kind of like those little nods and references I quite like.
Yeah. Any other particular highlights for you on the album?
I love Love Is a Rich Man. I think that's proper, like imperial era, like early 70s Stones, got kind of real kind of swagger around, which I really like. And it, that's the nearest I think really to a kind of out and out standard rock and roller, I think. Even then, it's got, you know, it's got brass, it's got, I think, I don't know if there's strings on it, but there's like layers and layers of musician instruments. That one to me kind of stood out first time I listened to it. I mean, it's Easy Now is still sounds incredible to me, and like I know that's obviously, you know, not really a kind of a hot topic at the moment, but like that line of, you know, if you could trade all the love you've ever made, no, what is it? What's the line? If you could trade all the love you made for what you gave away, I wonder what you find. I think brilliant. I think that's one of his best lyrics. Oh, well, that's a sweeping statement, but I think it's a great lyric. And there's the kind of references that, oh, that I'm not giving up about the girl, how the girl's going to rescue me and things like that. So I think there's a lot of kind of little, I'm looking forward to properly sitting through the lyrics and get to the point where I kind of know them and can then kind of digest them. Do you know what I mean? Because it doesn't really, you know, when you, the first few listens, it's all kind of one. So I'm looking forward to that because I think that'll be really insightful. And again, lyrically, you know, strongest he's been for a while. You know, there's nothing throwaway on there in terms of like, you know, Black Star Dancing, or This Is the Place. There's nothing like lyrically throwaway like that on there, which I think is, and it's as I say, it's fascinating that he's chosen to release something which is clearly so personal. I mean, he's, you know, he's not saying that in the press, but I think if anyone, you know, knows him or follows his career and listens to the lyric stuff, I think you would agree that this is certainly his as I say, his most personal and emotional album thus far. Not sure where it sits in the kind of rankings of the four albums yet. Certainly, he's most accomplished, as I say, but I don't know. He'll do well to beat Who Built the Moon, but ask me again in 2 weeks and I'll have a completely different answer, no doubt.
Yeah, I need to think about that. I did say last night this might be his best, but I don't know if it's got the standout tracks other than Dead to the World. There's a lot of interesting tracks that I'm intrigued by rather than like Dead to the World just instantly blew me away. Easy Now has massively grown on me over the months and is the one I find myself singing the most. And like we said, the rip-off factor of Council Skies, I don't mind now. I've sort of got over that, so that's okay. Listening in the context of the album, I haven't even thought about that now. Whereas the first few times I listened to it, I was like, oh, I can't even get over that fact. But yeah, so looking at it, I'm Not Giving Up Tonight. It's got a really cheesy opening lyrics. It's like you're grooving, the lady's grooving or something. And I'm like, oh, that's not brilliant. You know, so instantly I was like, oh no, we're talking about grooving. You know, it's not 1972, Noel. But then actually, moving on from that, I love the laid back vibe. The strings again. There's a nice sort of bit where the horns come in, and it's got that lovely soulfulness. The backing vocals throughout are really soulful. I think it's Jess. I think it's mainly Jess on backing vocals. I was reading.
I haven't got my physical copy of the album yet, so I can't see the credits. But someone on the OCG, I think they've got the Blood vinyl came early. I think they arrived on Wednesday or Thursday, and I've seen the kind of credits. They want it less than you think. I believe Gem's only on one tune.
Yeah, Gem's on one. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on UCG. Yeah,
say that, you know, Strange Boy does a lot of guitar work in the studio, so I guess that's kind of carried on, really. But it's a bit of a shame. Yeah, a bit of a shame for Gem. But yeah, it's as you say, it's kind of a mix of the two bands. And go on, you were saying.
Yeah, and so like Jeremy Stacey's on it, for instance. He's playing drums and a few. Sharrock's on a few. Russ is on a few. So it's sort of a bit of a. Obviously, it's his like merry band of collaborators. Isn't
Posse.
It?
Posse.
Johnny Marr as well, obviously he's in there, but I think it's so, and I think like the backing vocals I really enjoyed throughout, but they're not like really up front. There's just a lot of quite muted sort of in the background, and then Noel's voice I think is brilliant here. I mean, Noel's voice is always great, and it's funny, obviously at the moment we've got all the Liam AI stuff going on, you know, obviously I did that whole episode about it, and then we've also then got, you know, the guy that put a lot of those together has now basically done the whole of the first High Flying Birds album, and there's a load of other ones flying around. And so I suppose like the discourse then has been, oh, wouldn't it be great if Liam sang all these songs? But actually, Noel's vocals I hear are fantastic. You know, when he's harmonizing with himself, there's so much emotion in what he's doing. His range, you know, he's almost 60, mate, and his range. Still, he's got such a strong falsetto, and the way he delivers a lot of these, he really is an absolutely fantastic vocalist. Mm-hmm. You know, in his away the whole songwriter thing.
The opening of I'm Not Giving Up is like the first vocals you hear. It's like, ooh, yeah, it's a bit kind of, I don't know what it's like, quite a bit dusky and quite low key before he kind of opens his voice up, and it's like, ooh, that sounds that's newish. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably not, but it's like it's as you kind of said earlier on, it's like it's the surprising little twists and turns that, you know, although it becomes a big huge opener in the first 10-20 seconds, you know what I mean, it doesn't sound like an album opener, and it kind of does set a vocally, I think, does set a precedent, because, as you say, he uses his entire range throughout, and yeah, I think he's kind of mastered that craft definitely now, not that he hadn't before, but you know, he's confident enough to do a lot with it within the space of a song, which I don't think he probably was before.
Yeah, definitely. There She Blows, I thought was very weird, interesting, you know, Beatlesy guitars. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't know whether it's going to be a skip one for me, or it could be one I just thought, oh, that's genius. You know what I mean? I think that could be quite a divisive one. Love is a Rich Man. It's got the Stone Roses on the Resurrection drums, isn't it? It is such a close, like,
yes,
pull of the Stone Roses on the Resurrection drums.
That's true.
And also the guitars in it, it's like got a jang, 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 jang. And I wrap my brains on it. It sounds like Walk Me to the Bridge by the Manics. You know,
okay.
So long.
Yeah.
That's really close. So, but, you know, no problem with that, because that is a great tune and that guitar sounds great. So that's brilliant. The other one, I mean, you mentioned it in your review. Funny, we both came up with that same reference, was the Open the Door, See What You Find. Is just the strings in it are brilliant. Na, 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 na. But it is just, it's Different for Girls by Joe Jackson. It's you know, it's exactly the same melody. So I was like, okay, there we go. But that's all right. You know, it's not like he's ripped off.
I thought that all by myself.
Did you think of that all by yourself? Okay, that's good. And then,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's very close. Think of a Number we talked about. There's something else in there that I just can't quite get. You know, normally I'm pretty good at going, ah, that sounds like that. One of them sounds like Paranoid Android by Radiohead as well. I can't remember which
one
now, but there's that melody when he's no. Stop the noise, I'm trying to get some rest. All the changing voices in my head. One of them has got that exact melody. I can't remember which one now.
Okay.
But yeah, so overall, oh yeah, and then, you know, the We're Gonna Get There in the End new version. So the other one where we'd had a new version, Trying to Find a World That's Been and Gone, I was like,
I don't think we did. I don't think that's a new version.
I don't know. I haven't gone back and listened to them side by side.
I think they've maybe taken the strings off and redone them from the demo, but that aside, I don't think it's any different.
Yeah.
I think it's different.
Yeah, I'll put a side-by-side comparison here, but as I say, based on two listens, I don't think it is different. And then, so then when we get to We're Going to Get There in the End, I think, oh, okay, is this also then going to be the same? And then straight away, bang, horns, you're like, whoa, okay. And they really jump out. They're so loud in the mix. I was like, you know, half one in the morning yesterday, listened to it, like, whoa, where did that come from? And yeah, nice sort of backing vocals, guitar that feels like extra. But yeah, once again, I'll drop a little comparison in here. But really, really jumped out and actually was then a nice, you know, because that song always had such a lovely vibe coming from like the pandemic and when it was released and stuff. But then having that extra kind of horns in it, it was always like a nice, joyous, upbeat. We're going to be okay, guys. You know, Noel kind of giving it like a message of support to us. But now with the extra horns and stuff, it's like, yeah, we got through it, you know, and we did get there in the end. And now let's have a pie. So, yeah, I did really like that. Anything else you want to mention about this, or should we just talk about the other thing that came up was the piano sessions?
I mean, I think there's probably, I'm sure there's more we could talk about, but and inevitably will, and inevitably when we finish this call, we'll do our usual thing of, oh, we forgot to talk about that bit. But the talk about the piano sessions. I haven't watched the videos yet because I had to leave yesterday before the video went up. But I've listened to it on BBC Sounds, and I really like. I really like actually the version of Love Will Tear Us Apart. I did think that might be a bit brave because, you know, that's an iconic, definitive song. Not that, you know, not that Noel's been afraid to touch those, but, you know, We Need Love, etc. But that's so, you know, quintessentially that band. But it's great. It kind of, I think Noel's vocal suits it. I like the beat of it a lot more. It sounds like it'll be a good, big live tune. I mean, I'm struggling to think why it was called the Piano Sessions, because what was it? The What a Life riff? And that was probably about it. Well, it's probably the Someone Counts the Skies, but that's about it, I think.
Yeah, it was the whole band. I mean, Piano Sessions, you're supposed to go in there and do it with a piano. But yeah, other than, yeah, like you said, like Mikey Rose, all right, you play the piano for this instead of keys. But yeah, I mean, it was just the band, wasn't it? He's obviously gone, nah, I can't be bothered to rearrange it. Let's just do this. You know, that's fine. But yeah, no, I like Love Will Tear Us Apart. Although the main riff was slightly different. I can't remember now exactly what it is, but it's like a couple of notes out.
Yeah, there was a couple of notes missing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I'll drop in the clip here. But I was like, oh, that's annoying. Like, what? If you're going to do it properly. And then, yeah, and I thought it was interesting because of the way that, like, Ian Curtis's vocal is so specific and, you know, and the way he's almost like delivering it like a autistic robot, you know, and Noel doesn't do that. So Noel was sort of kind of half imitating that, but then half doing his own thing. So I didn't necessarily think it worked. I was really excited to hear it when I heard about it, but then I was a little bit nonplussed by that one, to be honest. And then there was the What a Life, which, yeah, was fine, didn't really sound particularly different. And then Council Skies.
Never going to be dropped, is it, that tune?
No.
It's never going to be dropped.
He loves it. You know, and then Council Skies, which, yeah, I thought was a good version. It's nice to hear it live, but ultimately, you know, and then pretty fine, nice to have, but you know what, that'll be the bonus songs for the next album in 2 years.
Yeah, it's I was chatting to someone from Ignition yesterday. I was like, when's the Jill Holland special on? And because I thought it'd be this weekend, and then because it was originally supposed to be last weekend, I'm sure them seeing Twitter was announced it last weekend, and I thought, well, this weekend, okay, this makes more sense because it's the album weekend, but I don't think it's then. It seems to be, you know, kicked out at the not kicked his long grass. I'm sure they're holding it off for something special, but I really want to see Go Nowhere. I thought that might be a contender for the Anna Room stuff, but no, aka What Life always wins out.
Yeah, it's got to be that one. And then just to say, Liam Gallagher said, I must once again apologize on behalf of my family for our kids' piss poor and downright blasphemous version of Joy Division's Love Will Tear Us Apart. Tut fucking tut. Sorry.
No comment.
So there you go. And then the only other thing, obviously, there's been various kind of Oasis reunion rubbish since we last spoke about it. And it's all, you know, I mentioned on Twitter the other day, I think Noel's played a blinder because I don't get involved in it. I find it boring. It's pointless because it's never going to happen. It's just this annoying kind of back and forth. But that said, Noel on these interviews where he's just said, fine, call my people, I'm open to a conversation, straight away you just go, oh, okay, that's just he's just played it brilliantly then, because then it absolutely plays back into Liam's hands. And and then when Liam then his sort of go-to response is, well, no, I'm not going to call him, he split the band up. And he said that Damon from Blur should get AIDS, and he didn't come to the Manchester bombing thing. It's like, okay, split the band up. We can argue about Damon from Blur should get AIDS. He's apologized for that numerous times, and they're now mates. And and the Manchester bombing, we know about that. He then also donated the funds from Don't Look Back in Anger. It's fine. It is what it is, you know. And so it just feels a bit sort of Noel sort of backed him into a corner, and then Liam just sort of is sort of then coming up with excuses, really. And it's just, basically Noel's just played a blinder. And yes, I get it. Noel, it is just a work. I get it's just a work. He's just doing it because he knows that that's the way it's going to get publicity for the album. Yeah, absolutely fine. However he's done it, all I'm saying is he played a blinder.
Absolutely. I mean, I said he got the same thing on Discord before you tweeted about it. But what? It was absolutely. Well, yeah, he snookered him, isn't he? You know, proper called Liam's bluff. It has made Liam look a little bit stupid, because he's like, I'll get the band. Oh, yeah, whatever. Oasis, my life. I'll do whatever. You know, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not making a phone call. Do you know what I mean? It's really kind of, as I say, really, called Liam's bluff. And yeah. Nothing more to add than what you said, really. Like, Noel's absolutely smashed it in terms of... It's quite... Because Noel's kind of been on the back foot of the relationship, the media, you know, the media spats, etc. But since As You Were, really, it's quite nice to see... Well, not nice. It's... it's just seeing Noel taking the front foot and taking the higher ground kind of morally, but also with the initiative. I don't know. Since, Liam's kind of flailing a little bit, as you say, was... Some of the things he said were, completely unnecessary. But it is, you just have to kind of tip your hat to the chief there. He's played a blinder is the perfect way to put it.
And he's also come back with a really good album as well that the fans are liking. So, the thing, isn't it? It's not like, oh, well, your music's crap. And it's like, well, no, the music's been really good. So, overall, well done, Noel. Excellent album, you know, so I'm really looking forward to digging into it a little bit more, and I'm sure we'll pick up on it and we'll do our ranking discussions and whatever else in the days and weeks to come. But looking forward to delving into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the fun continues, because with the first gig in the States tonight, we can analyze what to see what the set list will be.
Yes. So if anyone's going that, do feel free to send in an audio review. That'd be fantastic. Playing with garbage. So cool. All right, Richard. Well, thank you very much, mate. Great to catch up. And
yes, mate.
And we'll speak to you again very soon.
Yeah, good chatting to you. You take care.